Okay.
Yeah, welcome to episode 190, almost hitting that 200 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Alrighty, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam!
Tip a pip.
That's what I'm talking about. And Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Handle all your preparedness needs yourself and everything you can't source. Go check out Heaven's Harvest. Use that promo code PERMA, to get 10% off. A little bit tongue-tied today, y'all, but guess what? You want to untie it? You can tip a pimp over on the Fountain app. If you want to break bread, I won't fake dead. To quote a ghetto philosopher, that is. Anyway, you can do it all over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed if you like. And if you want to drop a derivation of a Bitcoin on a player, you can do it over there. You can tip a pimp right there on the Fountain app. All right, y'all. So, seems like an eternity every single time from Thursday until Monday. Just seems like an eternity. Seems like I've been away from the mic way too long. And you know how much I like doing the pimp cast, man. So let's jump right into farm news, man. I'll tell you what, I don't know if anybody else has been feeling it, but good night, man. It's like everybody I've talked to over the last several weeks, it seems, has just been under some massive kind of fog. And I know it's been that way myself, and then also kind of overlaid with a great deal of anxiety here and there. Today, boy, that really just kind of went all away. I mean, this was a fantastic day. I will say that there wasn't a streak in the sky. I don't know if the two are correlated. I don't know. I need more evidence. But this is the first day I can remember in a while where there wasn't just massive spraying everywhere. So I don't know. Maybe that's got something to do with it. But, man, I was like full of energy, vigor, the whole nine yards, man. It was really, really, you know, really had it all together today. And it was one of those days also where I spent most of it actually doing farm work, which is really what I love. And that's really the kind of the, I think a lot of people that get into YouTube kind of fall into that conundrum of, okay, well, you might make it into the point where you start making money on it, which YouTube doesn't pay us a livable wage. I guarantee that. I mean, you'd be far, far below the poverty line. And I'm sure that's for reasons, you know, because I say certain things and I know the videos don't exactly get viewed, but that's not why I do it. It's to build that community with people that really, really matter and the people that are trying to make a difference out there. I know exactly what I'd have to do to blow up, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play that game. And, but yeah, when you get into this and you kind of feel committed to a certain point to produce content. And for me, there's never really a time where I don't have something I know I could record, because all it is really is recording what we are doing that day. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, I know some people go through some long-term planning as to what they intend to shoot. It doesn't work that way for us. I don't think I'd ever be able to farm adequately if we spent all day trying to record everything. So it has to be whatever projects we're working on. And that's typically how it goes. So, yeah, if those videos don't come out as regularly as people are accustomed to, then I'm afraid that's how it's going to have to be, because at the end of the day, I'm a farmer first. And YouTube, I know that sounds crazy to other YouTubers out there, but that's just how it's got to be. I would rather put my tools on and go back doing electric work if it's got to be the other way around, if I got to worry about doing content more than I do actually farming. But there are times, you know, between the businesses we run and some of the other things we do, And of course, I don't tell everybody, you know, all of our means of income, because the way I run my mouth sometimes, the odds are I'm probably going to be in, you know, there's already suppression a great deal, whether it's in the Pimpcast or whether it's, you know, where the right people will find us. That's the way I look at it. And I'm not worried about getting more subscribers or anything like that. My primary goal is to link up with like-minded people. And I think a lot of us are looking for community out there. But of course, these social media companies are never going to it's never going to be based on a meritocracy, not in the right way. So I know that's what it is, but I'm really just, YouTube is on my list of things to do. Believe me, that's not at the top of it. I love doing the videos to get the information out there to help people that are going to be doing this, but really that's not my top priority. Believe it or not, the podcast is higher on the list. Because I can, number one, I love doing it more. I don't get me wrong, I do like doing the videos. I just know it feels so good, man, when people tell me, hey, man, that video really helped me out, or I was able to get ahead on something, or this was something I didn't know about. So those things are always a massive blessing to me to hear. And it really is, y'all. It really, really is to hear that. And it's a joy to know that I'm able to do this kind of work that really makes a difference. Not to say that the other work in my previous careers didn't make a difference. It's just this means more of an impact to me, because this ultimately comes down to helping folks put food on the table or to keep it in their larder or whatever the case may be. So it's a real joy to be able to do that. But it just means that this time of year, I'm just going to have to kind of lean back a little bit on some of these videos. Although I will admit that I did shoot part 3 of the composting video. So that will hopefully come out tomorrow. We'll just see how it goes. But like I said, the other things we have going on around here do take precedence. So it is what it is. So hopefully folks will understand. Let's see here. What else we got going on? Made some compost extract today. Well, for those of you, now, an extract is not a tea. I got to make that clear, because people use compost tea and they say that, but they don't really know the differences between the two. Let me just explain this real quick, because there is a massive difference. When you do an extract, all you're doing is stripping off the microorganisms in that compost, and you're putting it in an aqueous solution or a water solution. That's pretty much what it is. That's all you're doing. So you can get more bang for your buck by doing it that way. Although the other one, just putting out the straight up compost is great too, depending on the application you need. But you can stretch it much, much, much further when you use an extract. The difference between an extract and a compost tea is that the tea is a foliar spray. The idea is, and it's much more difficult to make, an extract is very simple. You can go out there with a 400 micron net, put a couple of handfuls of compost in there, stick it down in your ambient temperature water, squeeze it through, do that about 3 times, and then, you know, you got yourself an extract. But to make a compost tea is something else altogether. Now, the difference is you want that extract to permeate the soil. When you do a tea, what you want is for it to stay on the surface, on the green surfaces. So what you want, and it's a really cool image that Dr. Elaine showed one time, Dr. Elaine Ingham is who I'm talking about, where they did an electron micrograph of a regular leaf. And then they did one that was sprayed with compost extract. And all of the sites on those leaves were absolutely taken by the beneficial microbes. And that's exactly what we want to do. And so I said all that to say this, is that typically throughout most of the year, I'm doing compost extract. I don't need a tea. And now when you get into the growing season, that's where the teas come in handy. But the process is totally different, because like I said, the extract, you basically get it in water, you strip off the organisms. But when you make a tea, you're getting them to the point where they're starting to reproduce, and they make these glues that make them very, 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 very sticky. Can be troublesome too for your equipment if you're not good at cleaning that stuff out. So it's also important to know how to do that. So when you make these extracts, it can be tricky, because you have a very fine line that if you cross over, then all of a sudden everything goes anaerobic. Because what I'm doing is, as I got them out there in the bubbler, is what I call it, or the brewer, whatever, the compost brewer, whatever the case may be, you're pushing air and water through this system. And what's happening is that they are reproducing. And when they do, that's when they produce these glues. Then they got to get to the right numbers. You got to stay on top of it. You look under the microscope and then bam, you got to get it out there, get it on. And that's what I'm going to be doing sometime, hopefully this week. Might have to wait till next week. I'm a little long in the tooth on doing that. Really a number of other things around here. But that's something else I'm going to get into. I'm not sure I can make an adequate video, so I might have to save that for Patreon. We'll just see how it goes. It's going to be, that's a little bit tough to try to, you know, navigate is because it's so doggone heady and to get it right. But yeah, so we'll just have to see how that goes. Talking about being behind on some stuff, man, we got plant starts down there. Michelle did this pretty awesome experiment, man. She grew some, like, let's say it was a variety of, let's say, pepper. She grew one in compost, one in some other medium, and the other one in sand. And so that's an experiment that's going to unfold. I'll let you know how that goes out. And the idea being is that you grow them in, if you put them in sand and you get them off and run them, that according to Stefan Subkowiak, is they're going to unlock certain things in their genetics that they otherwise wouldn't had they just been in a regular medium because they didn't need it. Now, it's like as soon as they're in those tough conditions, if you can raise them in those tough conditions, when they get out of there, man, they are supposedly off to the races. I guess we're going to find out because she has quite a few of them that are really, really kicking. All right. So, man, the bees. Oh, yeah. We're behind on that, too. Folks, I'm saying all the stuff we're behind on because I know a lot of you are in the same exact spot. And some of you probably view yourself as, man, I'm kind of failing at this. No, you're not. That is just the nature of farm life. You never really ever feel like you're ever caught up on anything. It always feels that way. And the second you do, well, you're losing ground on another area. So at this time of the year, especially in spring, you just get this, how do I say it? It's number one, you do have sleepless nights. I mean, you have a lot of them because you're, you know, when you do what we do, you spend a lot of time doing this. You got longer days. You're using every bit of it. And so you're wiped out at the end of the day and you still, you know, you got to get it done. Things have to get done. So those plant starts are behind, you know, the extract is behind doing some of these other projects are behind and putting on the supers on the beehives. Those are behind. So we captured, what was it? Four swarms. Yeah, I think we got four and there was a fifth, maybe a sixth that actually got away. And it's kind of crazy because we have this one swarm that got away from us, went up into this, I mean, high, I'd say 40, maybe 50 feet up into this tree. And that thing has been there for almost 2 years and it's thriving through the winter, through the whole nine yards. I mean, that is one tough, man, that is one tough hive. I wish I had captured those guys, man, because they obviously can stick it out. I mean, zero protection, no boxes, no nothing up in the trees through the winter and they survive. So, man, hat tip to those bees up there. Oh my goodness. So yeah, I mean, it's, you never, ever feel like you've ever, man, I don't know that you're ever going to get to the point in this work where you ever feel like you got it all done. Now you can just chill. I mean, that may work for other people, but, there's never going to be a day where we're not moving animals every day. In the winter, it might be every other day, but something's moving. So that's always going to be the case. There's other things that just don't change when you try to do these things as holistically as you possibly can, your workload, if anything, it gets longer. You just try to get better at being efficient. So for all of you folks that are getting into this thing or thinking about getting into this farm thing, it's just part of the reality of doing this life. You're going to have some very high highs, some low lows, and you're going to spend a lot of days where you're going to, I'll put it this way, if you do this full time, you're going to get really good at what podcasts you like. And also let that be a cautionary tale because you also want to be, you don't want to have those things so much in your ears when you're out working that you're not listening to the sounds around you. And I'm guilty of that. So I've tried as of late to be more, I used to hate the term because I didn't really know what it meant. Now I think I do, but I think it's overused. And the term is being present, being present. You know, you can't truly observe nature when you're listening to a podcast. I don't care what anybody says. Visually, possibly, but there's so many, you're not bringing to bear any other sense. And if you are looking visually, are you really there? So that's where I'm going to have to kind of govern myself a little bit and take those things out. And then also being a little more conscious about the fact of every opportunity I can, I try to ground. Folks, you have no idea. I mean, the realities of and the benefits of that are just astonishing, at least in my life. And I'm encouraging everybody. And I'm not saying that because we are affiliated with Redemption Shield. I'm saying if you can go out there this year, this time of year, unless you're way up north, man, you can get outside, put your feet on the ground. If you can't get outside, yeah, they do sell those grounding mats, but I'm encouraging you to go out there. For me, the number one place is outside, always. Put my feet on the ground, put my body on the ground, take my shirt off. In fact, I was somewhere this weekend and I stopped off two times yesterday. I'll get to that in the main topic, but I stopped off a couple of times during this class to just, anxiety was starting to mess with me a little bit. I had to get away, did a little bit of deep breathing, took my shirt off, found a secluded spot, laid on the ground, and then got up feeling, you know, just absolutely fine. But, you know, folks, ground yourself. Deep breathing. Those things make a difference, man. I am here to tell you. And they're free. They don't cost you anything. And you're probably not going to find some MD out there telling you to do this sort of thing. So take those free, easy morning sunlight, for crying out loud, y'all. I mean, these are easy things that are easy to do, and you can feel the benefits almost immediately. I do. I know I do. I get a full recharge every time, like when I'm busting it, like throughout the day, like I was today. I'll make myself stop, despite the fact where I was trying to put all the supers together to get them, you know, put up in the truck so we can get them, you know, loaded up and put on tomorrow. And as I'm doing that, I had to literally stop myself. Said, no, nope, stop. I know you feel okay right now, but sit down. You didn't do it today. Go breathe and put your feet on the ground. And I made myself do it. And in fact, I make myself do it at least once, hopefully midday, in addition to what I do in the morning. All right, y'all. So coming up this weekend, I'm going to be there on the 4th and part of the 5th, and that's Mountain Readiness. I'm going to be teaching a tactical food force class out there. And yeah, you're going to want to be there. So a lot of great instructors there. Mike the Fit Farmer is going to be there. His son, Daniel. I'm looking forward to meeting him. I've never met Daniel before, but Joel, he and I are cool. And really looking to meet Daniel as well. I keep calling him Joel. Why not? All you people look the same to me anyway. See, I can get away with that with this audience. All right. Also, Upstate South Carolina Homestead Gathering is going to be coming up. They got a Facebook page. Go check them out. It's going to be later on in May. So, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make that one as well. So we'll just see how it goes. All right. Into the good news. For those that don't know, we used to have a bad news, good news section. Now, look, man, you get all the bad news you can handle in a day. In fact, good news is kind of hard to find sometimes. I am not kidding, y'all. I mean, it is tough to find sometimes. So the first one is, and this is kind of odd, but Hungary backs China's peace proposal to end the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Glad somebody is. Blessed are the peacemakers, which doesn't seem to be us right now. Seems to we have our hands in every single conflict on this planet. And how dreadful is that? But yeah, Hungary of all people. I'm glad, you know, and China's the one suggesting peace. China? Huh. Yeah, I don't even have words for that, but China's calling for peace over there, but we aren't. All right, next good news. This one I really like, man. Check this out. This little Florida teen, he wins a prestigious Carnegie Award, even though Carnegie was a polecat. That's another story altogether. And a full-ride scholarship after a daring rescue. Man, this young man, check this out. There was a woman going down this, It's like a... It's basically she's going down this river and this kid can clearly see she's in trouble. So he took off his shirt, jumped in, swam 80 feet and rescued this woman and swam back. I mean, against this powerful current and brought her back with him. I mean, man, this kid is tough, man. But, you know, that's good news. I mean, it kind of restores your hope in humanity, especially when you see young folks that are doing extraordinary things like that. So it is really something else. Another feel-good story. And I'm telling these stories to you as much as I am myself. I take in a fair amount of bad news in the course of a day. I mean, trying to keep up with things. And also I have to do this podcast, I at least to have have to have some awareness of what's going on in the world, but trying to titrate the badness. And when I talk about these good news stories, y'all, it's also for me because it just gives me joy to know that there are these people out there doing this stuff. Like this lady here, Taco Bell manager, revives lifeless baby that was pulled into the drive-thru. And good night, man. I mean, how cool is that? Taco Bell manager had some CPR training, got this kid off and running until, you know, the EMT showed up. Man, how cool is that? You know, we hear so much and we see so much that is just plain awful. And I would say most of it's contrived. I mean, I know we live in a country where it seems like 99.9% of everybody elected to every elected office is completely sold out. I mean, when I say completely sold out, I'm talking like things that are unthinkable. I mean, you got Republicans out here banning free speech. Good night. So who's out there for us? I mean, who is a champion for free speech anymore? I guess, like they say, find out who you can't criticize and you know who owns you. All right, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail, but with that, y'all, we're going to go right into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, good, cheap, or fast. Years ago, I remember seeing a sign at the mechanic shop that said, good, cheap, or fast. Choose two. You can have something good and cheap, but it won't be fast. You can have something good and fast, but it won't be cheap. And you can have something cheap and fast, but it won't be any good. When it comes to human behavior, we tend to do the easiest or most convenient option, which in our current system is the most destructive. There are anti-human people out there who think humans are a cancer on the world and the planet would be better off without us. But I can certainly understand how someone would come to that conclusion. But on the other hand, what does that do to your mental health to think every day that you shouldn't exist? I think it's a question of behavior, not population. Ants have a total biomass larger than humans, but they coexist with the planet. So it's not a question of population, it's a question of design. You can't expect people en masse to change their behavior by dramatically altering their actions. Motivated people find this to be a challenge. So how do we design systems to take advantage of our current behavior? We can complain and moan that the system is rigged against us, or we can view it as a design challenge. Can we make a permaculture system that's more convenient, costs less, and produces a better result? I think we can over a long enough time frame. But in the immediate time, we need to focus on solving two of those three problems. Focus on designing a system that's good, cheap, or fast. Choose two. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Bam, that's my dog right there, man. Boy, Eric always knocks it out of the park, man. I know everybody out there has got to love his segment. I know I sure do. And good night, man. It's funny that he mentioned that because in the electric trade, we kind of had that same motto. Well, we had a lot of, not motto, but it was, you have a lot of different sayings and stuff, you know. And that was kind of, and I'm sure it's with every trade out there that it's pretty much the same thing. You know, you can't have all three. I've never seen it. You can only pick those two. So it applies in really everything. And now that he kind of brought that up, you know, even when it comes to the design of your homestead, folks, look, man, I'm going to tell you something. In most cases, what I see, especially right now, is everybody is in the all fired rush to get out there, man. You know, this whole thing's falling apart and you're going out there, you're putting these homesteads together and I know you're doing the best you can. And then you're making colossal mistakes because you're not taking the time to seek the advice of maybe a consultant like Eric or William over at, you know, my son. It can make, yeah. Is it a little bit of expense there? Absolutely. But to me, it's worth every single dime. Even for me, with all the experience we have around here, I still, when I'm doing something else, I make sure I get, you know, you want somebody who can look dispassionately at whatever it is you're trying to do. But when you get out there and you go full steam ahead and you're trying to hurry up and get it done, and you're going to probably have regrets. I mean, there are people wondering if they can put in swales after they planted their trees. In most cases, that's probably, yeah, you can. Not without a great deal of, you know, issues. You're going to have issues. I'll put it that way. So, yeah, take all those things in mind. I mean, obviously, you want to get it done in a timely manner, but it seems like most people don't get a consultation on this sort of thing, or even get if you can't afford a consultation, go to somebody near you and just say, hey, just, can you look this over for me? Just kind of, do you see some places where I might be missing it? Because we all have those blind spots, especially when it comes to our own properties. All right, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Been a journeyman electrician for a lot of years. IBW trained, 25 years, y'all. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, EMP Shield didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them because the product was so awesome, and I asked if they would like to sponsor this show. So, yeah, EMP Shield, man, they are definitely off the hook. And if you get the one that goes on the house, y'all, anything, if you get hit by a lightning strike, anything downstream of that is covered up to 25 Gs. You find me another. You find me any competitor that'll even cover you for $1,000, much less 25 Gs. And also the installations for vehicles. The idea is not to go to the club. The idea is to go to the house. And if you thought anything otherwise, then you're probably not listening to this show anyway. So EMP Shield will get $50 off with promo code PERMA. Go check them out. All right. So I left a little bit out of the farm news because I wanted to save it for the main topic. And I've talked about something similar to it before, but man, I got to say, it's really getting on my last nerve, this phenomenon I see unfolding. And I think a lot of you ladies out there are going to give me an amen on this. Ben from Renewed Homestead and I, we went to this hide tanning class this weekend. That's what I was doing. So that's maybe the reason why, you know, a lot of content hasn't come out as of late, because I mean, every weekend for the next couple of weeks, I'm just, you know, doing things. I got to be somewhere. I'm going to be at Mountain Readiness. So this last one, it's always continuing for me. It is always, always, always continuing education, whether it's in a book, whether it's on video, whether it's online, whether it's an online class. And my favorite, and probably yours too, is the in-person class. Especially for something like hide tanning. It's, you know, you could probably learn it online to a certain extent, but there's certain nuanced things that you can't possibly express online. Like how does it feel? You know, this is where an instructor is really, really awesome and to help you out. So I got to ask, where are the men? Where are you? I got women writing to me. And I know a lot of the guys that listen to this program are probably, this isn't going to apply to you, but I'm just curious, where the heck are the men? Ben and I were the only men in this class. And this ain't the first time. I mean, folks, we're out there, you know, it takes a lot of work to tan a hide. Look, there's no getting around that. You know, nothing worthwhile is worth having, you know, that didn't take something out of you. And when you do something like this, yes, even if it's a rabbit hide, man, it is a long, laborious process. And there ain't no speeding it up. Not without chemicals or something like that, but that kind of defeats the whole purpose of learning this stuff. So wanting to get another feather under my hat, Ben and I, yeah, we both wanted to do this. And like I said, I've always known exactly what to do with, you know, with an animal. And I never felt bad about taking the hides and throwing them in a compost pile, but I thought, man, it sure be, if I had the skill to know what to do about it, then I'd feel better about it. So that was part of it. Plus, I just think it's a really neat skill to have. So we go out there and there's two young people and probably in the early 20s that are teaching this class. And strangely, I mean, they live the life, man. I mean, they literally eat roadkill. They do. And honestly, they eat out of dumpsters and they do it regularly. And this is not, I mean, they said it with pride. I mean, this is a life they choose to live, but I got to say, man, they were very competent instructors, early 20s, man. I mean, they were really, really good. But I looked around and I'm like, if Ben and I didn't sign up for this class, there would not have been a man in that class. So I want to know, where are you guys? Because I can't even tell you how many ladies have written to me saying, man, I'm really doing the best I can, man. Can you help me out with this, man? My husband's watching football, or, you know, he's got this, he wants to work on the car or whatever else. I think this whole thing's coming apart and I really need somebody to help out right now. But he says I'm nagging him too much. Man, it would be one thing if this was isolated, but it's not. I mean, the knot class I taught at Mountain Readiness last year. The first day, there was a good distribution of men and women. The second day, it was all women. All women doing a knot class. You know how many butcher classes I've taught where 80% of them are women? Where are you guys? Ladies, make your husbands, if you're one of the ones that's writing to me, and I know a number of you are, have them listen to this. And guys, I'm going to encourage you. Look down between, you know, just put your head down. You see those things down there? Grab a hold of your kishkas and start acting like a freaking man. Because I am floored at how many women are having to stand up and do this stuff because all of you guys have acquiesced. I mean, you should be ashamed. I mean, what are you expecting me to say? Oh, I'm not going to make any excuses for you. Quit being a bum. Go out there and help them out. Look around you. Listen to something beyond Fox News and MSNBC and CNN. All of them profligate liars, prostitute liars. Maybe listen to some of the sources your wife is listening to right now and maybe try to get in the game just a little bit. I mean, every single time I turn around, check this out, y'all. True story. Michelle and I went out there to go pick up an Azure standard delivery. For those that don't know, basically a big rig comes by, has a refrigerated part on it, and it has a dry part of it. And you can order in bulk with your community a lot of awesome stuff. I mean, I'm talking like beans, rice, whatever the case may be, flour, you name it. It's all organic, and you can get a really good discount. That truck rolled in. Y'all, as sure as I am speaking behind this microphone right now, I wish Michelle was in here right now, but like I said, these are long days, and she's wiped out. She's been up to her eyeballs. You could ask her if I'm not telling the truth right now. That Azure truck pulls in. The guy driving the truck comes around back, lifts it up, you know, pulls out his clipboard, and he's, you know, communicating with the lady who's in charge of all this, who, you know, put it all together. And he's like, okay, you know, he's just by himself up in the back of this truck taking this stuff out. And I'm thinking, okay, well, man, there's a whole lot of people up in here. I'll grab that pallet jack and I'll help this guy up on the top of the truck because, we're just too crowded at the bottom. So there was ways to sort this stuff, and they had little pictures on them of animals or whatever. And so I was helping this guy sort this stuff out. And then whatever was for our drop, we had to bring to the back of the big rig. So I'm taking it all out there. And then about 10 minutes into it, it finally occurred to me. All the women are downloading this truck, and all of the men, I kid you not, we're standing over there in a circle off to the side of the vehicle of this giant truck, just sitting here talking to one another. Well, all of these women, some of them, well, a couple of them infirmed, in fact, elderly and infirmed. And you got all these guys over there. And I stopped when I was done. I finally got everything downloaded. And then I started helping the ladies after I got down. And all these guys, I'm sitting there slack-jawed and stymied, because I can't even believe what I'm looking at. There must have been six guys over there. Not one of them lifted a finger to download this truck or to even help sort the stuff out. And then a couple of them just grabbed their stuff. As soon as it was sorted out, grabbed their stuff, even though it was clear that everybody else was helping everybody else get loaded up. It was embarrassing. If there was ever a time in my life I felt embarrassed for the male race, I swear that was it. But man, it's starting to get to the point where it is annoying the daylights out of me. I don't know whether it was, and I'm not going to say it was a school system that did all this, because these guys were guys near my age, you know, maybe mid-40s, early 50s. So I know that they didn't come up in this culture where they had all the masculinity beaten out of them. I just got to know. I mean, guys, why have you acquiesced? Why are you being bums? Why are you standing back behind the skirts of your wives while they're out there doing all this stuff, acquiring these skills, acquiring the food necessarily? I mean, it is just, it's an agonizing thing when I see this over and over and over again. All of these skills that in the past would have fundamentally been something that guys would flock to, they're absent. They're absent. Women are doing 99% of it. And all you guys are just standing back doing nothing. Dreadful. All right, so I'm going to spend more time on the Q&A, y'all. That's about all I'm going to say on that matter right there. I'm just sick and tired of seeing all you bums. And at this point, yeah, I know. That's strong language. Yeah, it is. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it's too tight, take it off. Start doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm just so sick and tired of you bums out there. You got all the time, you know, the price of everything and the value of nothing. You guys, you could tell everybody about the latest score in a football game or whatever, but you got a little Johnny over here. I remember a guy in particular. Sit here going through trade manuals to figure out what's his next, you know, truck purchase, what it's going to be. Meanwhile, he's got a son who's suicidal. Can't get him to even read a single book on how to deal with this boy. But you got all the time in the world to go out here and look at trade manuals when you got a suicidal son at the house. Dreadful. All right. Yeah, I know that's not the most pleasant topic in the world, folks. Like I said, sometimes this podcast is going to be cathartic, and that's for me. All right. Needed a drink of water. Sorry about that. All right. So first one is, and these Q&As, y'all, I always love them because, it's always – man, you guys are the best. You guys and gals are really the best. And obviously, present company excluded. I don't mean you guys listening right now. I'm just saying, by and large, man, there's a whole lot of bums out there. I just never knew how many. Like I said, the only time I've ever been embarrassed in my life was at an Azure drop. Who knew? All right, so Zach says, hope all's well. Want to share this little trick that I've been doing as I establish my permaculture orchard. Every time I buy leeks or green onions from the grocery store, I replant the bulbs after I eat them. He went out there and he sent me a picture. Yeah, so he's off and running, man. That is awesome. So, yeah, great idea, Zach. I mean, I remember that's one of those things we used to do as a kid and somehow forgot it along the way. So thanks for bringing that back up. So Matthew, we hear from Matthew quite a bit. Matthew, really awesome, man. I love hearing from him. He says, so he's been through Nicholas Bertner's PDC at School of Permaculture and he's waiting on a certificate. Well, here I go again. I'm officially signed up for Jeff Lawton's online PDC. I'd rather use the money to invest in my career in permaculture than sit and see it lose value in a bank. Man, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about, y'all. These are the kinds of men in this world we need to be building more of. Yeah, go out there, get your PDC, Matthew. And I tell you what, don't wait around doing something with it, man. Even if you're living in a dorm or an apartment or whatever, man, you can go out there and guerrilla garden. You can get practice anywhere. This is one of those careers where you're going to have to be your own drill sergeant. So that, you know, that's always, that's always going to be the case there. So, let's see here. Had a few technical difficulties here. We had a nursery reach out saying, they've been really telling everybody about the bone sauce and, man, I can't thank you enough. Yeah, I really haven't done much in terms of advertising that outside of my own videos because honestly, I can't keep up with demand now. So if we're out of stock on some of that stuff, y'all, I'm doing the best I can, really. It is tough to keep up with some of that stuff because it takes so doggone long and I'm not going to have to do it. So I do thank everybody out there for passing the word around. I really do. And like I said, it's just that time of the year where hopefully I can keep up, but that's not always going to be the case. All right, so Abigail says, man, this was really touching. She says, I've been listening to your podcast consistently for 6 months now after following you on YouTube for several years. Wanted to say thank you, big letters, thank you so much, for all the great information and the courage that you pack into each episode. We've been taking Stefan Subkoviak's online course based on your recommendation, and I've applied your bone sauce to some of my new fruit trees. Having permaculture and many of the ideas and positivity you provide has been so valuable in my healing after losing my baby last year. Man, I love babies, y'all. I do. I love children. And man, I can't even imagine the horror and the dread that a parent must go through when you lose a child. So Yeah, it's always heartbreaking to hear that. But man, I'm telling you what, it's also fulfilling to hear that you're trying to, you're never going to fill those holes. I know that much. But man, I'm glad you're able to, I'm glad that whatever we're doing here is helping. And I know Stefan at his course, it's, you know, I'm partially the way through his course as well. I've been through the pruning part of it and it was absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait to get through the rest of it. I'm just limited bandwidth right now, so doing what I can. But thank you so much, Abigail, and you know, blessings to you and yours, and everybody else out there, y'all. I'm really thankful for all the reaching out you do. I know I can't get back to everybody, but it's and honestly, sometimes y'all, the emails just don't get to me. That's the problem with using Gmail. So we're, that's another thing we got to get rid of as well. Is find something that's a little more reliable, because man, if I would. There are certain business things that just don't get to me, you know, and they wonder why I didn't respond or why they didn't get my response. It's crazy. So I got to go to maybe Proton Mail or something else. So yeah, we got one here from Steven. Looks like I'm going to see him out there at Mountain Readiness. He says, moved onto our 2 acres surrounded by farms and ag preservation 4 years ago. And anyway, he's out there doing the Back to the Eden method. And yeah, so that is so awesome. That method, y'all, also be a little bit cautious. It's not that Paul Gauchy wasn't telling you. That method, I'll be honest with you, works better in perennial systems. And you got to give it a little bit of time in regular garden systems. You'd be better off sheet mulching and then coming back later on. Now, there's other steps I think that were left out of that video, but there's a fair amount of chicken involvement too, so you want to make sure you check out that whole thing. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Paul Gauchy, but like I said, those systems seem to work better for us in perennial systems. So Randy was asking, we got some comfrey from you and planted it. We'd like to know if your comfrey is Bocking 4 or Bocking 14. Yes, we use Bocking number 4, and to us, it's the best. I mean, it's the most palatable to animals. It has all the wonderful things. It's sterile, so it's not going to get away from you. It's not going to go crazy or anything like that. So, yeah. I got another one from Karen here. It says, I moved out in the country, and thus far I've planted 130 blueberry plants along with some fruit trees. I've not put up a deer fence yet, and I've not decided on what type of fence I want. Where the barn will go and et cetera. And then I came across your YouTube videos and I'm interested in Billy's bone sauce. Will it keep deer out of my fruit, to keep deer out of my fruit trees and plants? I was thinking I'd put the sauce on some stakes around my blueberry patch. Will this work? Well, this is the answer nobody ever wants to hear. And I'm sorry, but it's true. It depends. And I'm not saying that to be cute for those that don't know. It really just depends. In some cases where deer pressure is a certain way, people have, and myself included, I've had great success. Before I ever put bone sauce on the trees, I put it on stakes because I wasn't sure I could trust it. And then when I perfected the recipe, you know, I was like, okay, well, yeah, Michelle kind of made us jump in full steam ahead on that one. So we ended up getting it on the trees and, we got it on the trees in a big way. I'll put it that way. And we did some areas where we put it on stakes, and even in some of the larger plots, we even worked with some people that put it on stakes around their cornfields, and it seemed to make a difference, but in some places it seems like it may not have. But like I said, folks, I mean, I'm not saying for a second that this stuff is a panacea. It's not. It's not a panacea, but it's by far the best thing on planet Earth. If there's a better deer repellent on this planet that works more than a day or two, then I don't know what it is, but bone sauce is definitely the best, and I'm proud to be making it. So yeah, you know where to find it if you need it. It's at the website. All right, y'all, thank you so much for your support. Man, it's been a long ride, but man, and I'm sorry to keep the show so dark on that, but man, like I said, I had to get it. This thing with men has just, obviously, as you can tell, it's really burning me up, because I am in fact a man. Despite what those kids asked, you know, what your preferences were this weekend. I'm thinking that's pretty obvious, I would think. But anyway, y'all, hopefully this all was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive. Yeah,
possibility. Always catches the worm.